Thursday night at 9 o'clock, Douglas Fairbanks Jr. will play the swashbuckling hero in Captain of Castile on Screen Director's Playhouse. That's all of Radio Parade for this morning. Be with us next Sunday morning, same time and station. Radio Parade is written by Bob Perrin. WMAQ and WMAQ-FM, NBC in Chicago. For the bride, her family, and friends, an important new series begins in the Herald American. The homemaking, beauty, and fashion staffs of the Herald American offer a complete guide for June brides filled with valuable information. Start it tomorrow in your Herald American. Destination Freedom. Listen, it's the Freedom Bell.
Aye, the Freedom Bell, my friends. And this is Paul Revere, called back from the shadows by the sound of the Freedom Bell to cry again a warning that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance.
Destination Freedom is presented by station WMAQ in the interest of human freedom the world over. Paul Revere is the symbol of warning, ready to ride down the skies to shout an alarm. His destination, now and forever, freedom.
As you go about your daily tasks, or perhaps visit with a group of friends, attend an entertainment, or possibly just relax at home in your easy chair, do you ever stop and think that this life you lead is of your own choosing? Do you appreciate that no one can force you to change your mode of living unless you so desire it? Yet this freedom is unknown to many peoples around the globe, because of an evil philosophy rampant in the world. Today, the United States has joined with other freedom-loving countries in taking a stand against this philosophy. Let us go now to a front line near the 38th parallel in that undivided country of Korea, where these united forces are moving until they reach a roadblock.
Hold it!
Hey, you guys, what goes?
Roadblock!
Another roadblock. How do you like that?
Yeah, if this keeps up, it'll be next Christmas before we get into Seoul.
Get a load of this one, will you? Branches and logs piled at least 10 feet high. This is worse than the last one.
You can say that again. And look at the steep banks on each side.
Brother.
Gosh, these Chinese commies must lay awake nights trying to figure out new and fancier blockades.
Yeah.
Back up!
Oh, the half-track can't push through. Guess we might as well sit and relax till the bulldozer squad gets it cleared, huh? Got a cigarette?
Sure. Here.
Thanks. Oh, feels good to sit down.
This is beginning to get monotonous.
The folks back home should see us, spending most of the war sitting behind a roadblock.
Yeah, you should be glad you're still able to sit. First time we run into a minefield beyond there, it'll be curtains.
Hey, look. See that Jeep coming up behind? Got a big sign on front.
Uh-oh, the press.
Wouldn't you think those guys would go somewhere and drop dead?
Relax, Jack. You sound like a movie star about to be interviewed.
Hi, fellas.
I knew it. A whole platoon to pick from, and he has to stop near us.
Oh, what do you care, Jack?
Another roadblock, huh?
You guessed it.
Tough going. I'm Spike Gibson, Allied Press. Mind if I sit with you guys a while?
Might as well. We're not going anyplace.
So, what's your gripe? Gives you a chance to sit and do nothing.
You should talk. All this probably looks like fun to you.
Cut it, Jack. Save your fighting spirit for the Reds.
Sure. No hard feelings, fella. We newspaper guys are a harmless lot. Just like to kibitz with the GIs, maybe get a story from them now and then. Where are you guys from?
Well, I'm from Chicago. Jack here's from Cincinnati.
Chicago and Cincinnati, huh? I know both those towns well. What are your names?
I'm Bob McIntyre, and this is Jack Wash, my buddy.
Well, how about you fellas coming through with an interview? What a GI thinks about while waiting for a roadblock to be cleared. That sort of thing, huh?
It's okay with me.
Wow. Bet you got a girlfriend back home, Bob. Nice-looking guy like you.
Gosh, you're not going to print stuff like that.
Can't tell. Might if it makes a good story.
Don't let him kid you, Bob. Your life story would sound pretty tame to a war correspondent. He wants news.
Sure. But I like human stuff, too.
Yeah, nice juicy bit about our lives at the front. Trouble is, every GI story would sound the same because we haven't got any lives. None of our own, see? We're too busy playing hide-and-seek with a bunch of Reds.
Hey, I don't blame you for feeling kind of low, kid, but don't let it get you.
Yes, I don't think things out much. But I've always felt sort of proud to have a chance to put the commies in their place.
Sure, I might feel that way, too, if we were fighting real Reds like in some countries.
These Chinese. I've heard their brand of communism's okay, not like the other stuff, so why don't we leave them alone and guys like me can go home?
You know, Jack, with thoughts like yours, you have as great a stumbling block in the way of your keeping the kind of life you want to get back to in the States as, well, as that roadblock there.
I only meant...
Yeah, I know what you meant. Say, I'd like to tell you fellas a little story about a friend of mine, a girl. Want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay, tell us about her.
I remember the first time I met her. It was in 1946 at Communist headquarters in Yunnan, where a group of us newspaper guys had gathered to interview the famous communist leader, General Chen Lin. They were all there when I arrived.
Hi, Spike. Come to get a scoop for the Herald Times?
Spike Gibson himself. Just in time for the kill, too. Hey, we've just been advised that Chen Lin's about ready to be interviewed.
I knew we were waiting for something. Little did I dream it was for the great Spike Gibson.
Hi, fellas. Nice, you're all so glad to see me. Say, O'Brien, who's the good-looking tomato over there?
That, my friend, is Sally Sylvester, freelance correspondent.
Hey, not bad. Where's she hail from?
Don't know. Never saw her before.
Well, see you around. Guess I'll amble over and get acquainted with the little lady. She looks interesting.
Oh, you startled me.
Gumshoe Gibson, they calls me. I took advantage of the racket these cackling news hawks are making. Name's Gibson, and you're Sally Sylvester.
How did you know?
A good newspaper man knows everything.
Or at least he thinks he does.
Ooh, touché. Tell me, Sally, you don't mind if I call you Sally, do you?
No, I don't mind.
How long have you been in the heart of Red China?
Oh, I just got here last night. I flew in from Chongqing.
And how do you like Yunnan?
Oh, it's a lovely place. It seems so remote from everything. I like the ancient pagoda and snow-capped hills.
And the mud and straw huts, no doubt.
Well, I haven't seen too much of Yunnan yet, but... Well, you must admit it is picturesque. The Mongol ponies and mules instead of coolies, no rickshaws or automobiles.
Yes, and when you have a chance, you must notice how snappy the red soldiers look in their uniforms as they guard the homes of communist leaders. Also, that there is just one newspaper, one radio station, and both are controlled by one party.
But everyone seems so friendly. Quite different from Chongqing and some of the other cities.
Yes, my dear little Sally. You will also note that all through communist China, there is fraternity, but no liberty.
Oh. Well, of course, this is really my first visit to the communist area. I know Chongqing best.
That's so?
Yes. I came here from Detroit 4 years ago to visit an uncle in Chongqing, and here I am, still in China.
And what have you been doing these 4 years in China?
Oh, I don't know. Mostly working, I guess. As a cub reporter for the Chongqing Evening Post.
Uncle has connections, I gather, huh?
Sort of. Now I write freelance for some American papers.
Uh-oh, the door to the inner sanctum is opening. Guess this is it, the big interview. Come on.
Representatives of the press, please to come in. General Chen Lin will see you now.
Chen Lin is pleased to honor the gentleman of the press. Also the lady of the press. Please to make yourselves comfortable. On this little table is tea for everyone and peanuts. I am so very unhappy that I cannot be more hospitable, but in these days there is not an overabundance of food in China. Please to help yourselves. Now, what questions do your honored newspapers wish me to answer? So you see, it is of little use to discuss theories or principles. China is in a stage of transition. We communists believe that the salvation of China lies in peace, unity, and a democratic government.
Well, let's get straight to your meaning of the word democratic, General. You call Soviet Russia democratic?
May I beg to so humbly remind you that we have not met here to discuss Russia? Forgive my insistence that you confine your questions to Chinese affairs.
You say that communists in China desire peace and unity. Does this mean that you'd give up your communist army?
But I also said that a coalition of Chinese nationalists and communists would have to be done gradually. That means that it would have to prove itself in practice. Only then could we give up our army.
I see, and this testing period would take some time.
Who knows? Perhaps years.
General Lin, you have factories here in Yan'an, I believe.
Oh, yes.
I'd like to visit some communist factories.
Say, it's a good idea. How about that, General?
It is with exceeding regret that I must inform you that our factories are too far out of town to travel safely. But it would be my pleasure to arrange a visit to some of our handicraft shops in Yan'an.
Oh, your prison near here is pretty famous, General. How about getting us some passes to visit there?
Oh, yes, General.
I am so very, very regretful. I should gladly grant your request, but unfortunately you are here at the wrong time of year. You have seen how thick the snow is. The road to the prison is quite impassable. I know it is a disappointment. It is a pity that our weather here and the surrounding hills spoil sightseeing for visitors at present. But I shall be most happy to arrange a visit to the Yan'an University for any of you who care to see it. Now, are there further questions?
About your agrarian reform.
Oh, boy. You sure run into a blind alley when you interview these Reds, huh?
Well, I thought General Lin tried to be very cooperative.
Oh, sure, but what did he tell us? A lot of stuff we already know. And then politely eases us out the door.
Some of it was new to me. And I'm sure to some of the others, too. Besides, I didn't hear anyone ask him any very leading questions.
What can you ask guys like that? Our answers are always so one-sided. Say, how come you're sticking up for Chen Lin, friend of your uncle's?
Certainly not. But I think a reporter should approach everyone with an open mind.
Yeah. Skip it, kid. You'll learn. Right now, what I want to know is, would this open mind of yours consider having dinner with me tonight?
Why, yes. That would be nice.
Then what, Spike?
That bulldozer's making a racket.
Did you and Sally get to see the factories or prison?
Sounds to me as if Spike was more interested in dating Miss Sally than in looking at buildings.
Well, of course.
Quit heckling him, Jack.
Oh, but I did go to look at some buildings. Yan'an University. We wanted to get a close look at Chinese Reds in the making. So the next day, Sally and I went to look it over.
I'm tired. How many rows of caves have we inspected?
I've stopped counting. And the students, heck, they all look alike to me. Can't tell the girls from the boys.
Well, that's because they all wear short hair and the same trousers and tunics. But aren't the caves where they live clean and neat?
Yeah, and cold and dark. I've seen about enough. Students writing, students reading, students playing cards.
Well, this is the last cave. This must be one of the schoolrooms.
Yeah. It can't be a dormitory, no cots.
Hey, look. The writing on the blackboard. How much Chinese can you read? I can read some.
Well, gee, yeah. It says, communists must prove their superior worth in a new and united democratic China.
In the past, we were engaged in armed struggle. Uh-huh. Now we must learn peaceful methods for advancing our cause. You see? The Chinese communists really do want peace.
So they say. Yet half of them are either still fighting the national government forces or helping to organize new communist regimes by military occupation.
Well, you seem to know all the answers, Spike. Why don't you ever give the Chinese communists the benefit of the doubt? I've seen how bad conditions are for the Chinese people in the cities. Perhaps this democratic government the communists speak
of... Listen, baby, don't kid yourself. Democratic government doesn't mean to a communist what it does to us. Free speech, free elections, free enterprise.
I know it doesn't mean that in some countries, but in China...
Communism is the same the world over. I've spent a lot of time in various communistic countries, and I know when the Reds seek to win control over a whole country, they begin by advocating democracy in order to destroy it. Chinese commies may appear to be mere agrarian reformers, but just wait. They'll soon begin to show their true colors and become the brutal, tyrannical ruling class that's a mark of all communists.
You speak very convincingly, Spike. But I want to learn more about it. I want to see for myself. You see, I'm the kind of a person who has to be shown.
What more do you want to see? Isn't it plain enough?
I want to live among them. That's the only way to really learn about communism.
Sally, don't talk that way. Oh, doggone it, I'm becoming pretty fond of you. And if anything should happen to you...
I enjoy living my own life the way I please.
Yeah? Well, you won't be able to do that in communist China. You're getting your countries mixed.
Gee, your friend Sally was plenty independent.
I don't like girls like that. Too hard to get along with. Now, you take my girl, Eileen, back in the States.
Never mind giving with your life story, Jack. Then what happened, Spike?
Well, I don't know for sure. That's the trouble.
What do you mean?
Shortly after, I got a wire from my paper to cover another assignment. And I had to ship back to San Francisco.
You lost track of Sally?
Yeah. And it was 3 years before I returned to China, just after the triumphant Red Army marched into Peking. I was there covering a story for Allied when I bumped into Sally unexpectedly on the street.
Oh.
Well, hello. What can't be? Sally Sylvester. Hey, for a moment I didn't know you, all rigged up in that quilted outfit.
Why, you're,
Spike Gibson, remember?
Oh, of course.
Going to a masquerade?
Don't try to be funny.
But the communist uniform...
Well, what's so unusual about that? I've been traveling with the soldiers as a correspondent.
Yeah, but what goes? Oh, I get it. Little Sally still determined to find out about things for herself, huh?
Yes, and I found out plenty.
You mean you've got a scoop? Are the Reds going to move in?
I mean I've had the enlightening experience of listening to soldiers pour out their pent-up grievances against taxation, forced labor, and other unhealthy conditions which have existed under the nationalist government.
Sure, sure, and you believed every word of it.
You think I'm going to stand here and have my intelligence...
Whoa, don't be angry, Sally. Just my big mouth. Hey, how about dinner tonight and we can rehash experiences and get acquainted again?
Oh, that would be... Isn't that I wouldn't like to, Spike.
Even with my big mouth?
Even with your big mouth. But, you see, I'm tied up tonight. Perhaps another night.
When? Just name the time and the place. By the way, where are you staying?
With friends.
Oh, yes, I forgot. With the uncle who has connections, I suppose.
No, he died 2 years ago. And besides, he lived in Chongqing.
Oh, what did I tell you about my big mouth?
It's all right. Well, I must be running along.
Well, hey, wait a minute. Not so fast. You haven't told me where I can get in touch with you.
Oh. Well, I'll write it down for you. There. You can call me at that number.
Swell. I'll give you a buzz. I'm sure glad I ran into you again. I want to speak to Miss Sylvester. Sally Sylvester?
Sylvester? Me don't understand. No, Mrs. Sylvester.
Look here. Is this 1144?
This 1144.
And there's no Miss Sylvester there?
Oh, now me understand. Mrs. Sylvester, she have Chinese name.
Chinese name? Well, I'll be a... What Chinese name?
Ming Wu.
Well, call Ming Wu to the phone.
Who call him, please?
Say, who are you? It's none of your business. Who...
Ming Wu say, no talk on phone. Ming Wu, she busy.
What's your address? You'll talk to me, all right. I'm coming right over.
So, Sally, Ming Wu not like. You give your number, me have a telephone you.
Oh, all right. I'm at the Peking Hotel. Got that Spike Gibson. Tell her to be sure and call me.
Me tell her.
Jack, the bulldozer squad's finally pushed through the roadblock.
Yeah, now all we have to do is wait for the mine detector squad to check the road ahead. Go on, Spike.
Did you get to see Sally? Did she call you?
No, I remained in Peking for 3 months and tried every way I could think of to locate her. When I called again, the phone had been disconnected. Later, through some contacts I had, I traced her to the address where the phone had been located, but it was newly occupied by a Chinese family who had never heard of her. So I gave up. I moved on from Peking to Shanghai and had almost forgotten her. You know how those things go. Then one day, I received a card from her, postmarked Nanking. It was forwarded to me from the Peking Hotel. I still remember her words.
Dear Spike, I'm happy working with my comrades. Soon the revolution will be centered in the city. I want you to know that you were wrong. Communist China is giving me a greater chance to live my own life as I want to than America ever could. Sally Sylvester.
I knew then that her conversion to communism was complete. Nanking fell to the communists soon after that.
Yeah, that's like a woman. Always wants the last word, telling you how wrong you were.
But she found out that with the communists, they have the last word. Well, some months later, I was back in Peking for a brief stay. I was about ready to shove off for a Tokyo assignment. I was standing in front of the hotel with my luggage piled around me, waiting for a rickshaw, when I felt a tug at my sleeve. I turned around. It was Sally.
Spike?
Well, Sally Sylvester. Hey, this is great. In Peking. Andy. In Peking. Andy. Beats all the way we run into. Hey, you look more like yourself than you did the last time I saw you. American clothes suit you much better. Oh, I would meet you just as I'm
Spike.
About to.
Spike, I mustn't be seen talking with you.
Why not?
Well, things have changed. With the Korean War and all, I thought it best. Spike, I'm returning to America.
Oh, glad to hear it, Sally. That's where a girl like you belongs.
Yes, well, Spike, I just wanted to say that I'm trying to find a ship to take me. I thought perhaps you could help me get passage.
Gee, sure wish I could, Sally, but I'm leaving for Tokyo. Tell you what, why don't you try the Red Cross? Maybe they can do it.
Yes, that's right. Perhaps they can help. I must go. Goodbye.
Well, don't go. Wait, Sally!
Get ready to move! Road's clear!
You guys better get ready to move.
Yeah. Go on, Spike. Did you ever find out if she returned to the States?
Yeah, I found out. I stayed on in Tokyo for several months. Then I had a chance to return to China. I went direct to Peking, hoping to find some word of Sally there. I couldn't seem to get her out of my mind. My first stop in Peking was the office of the Red Cross.
You say her name was Sally Sylvester? Oh, yes. She came to us for aid the latter part of July. We were finally successful in helping to book passage to America for her. That was August 22nd.
Oh, good. Then she sailed.
That we don't know. We were unable to locate her at the address she gave us.
Well, that's strange. Please, will you give me that address? It's important that I find her.
Well, it's a little irregular, but I suppose under the circumstances it'll be all right.
Always, please.
Sally Ming Wu, is she here?
Oh, very sorry. No, Ming Wu here. You go away. Oh, please, no, step on foot.
Sorry, but I can't let you close that door just yet. She must have lived here last July.
Please, no, understand.
She was here then, admit it. Here. See, would understand for American dollars?
Oh.
Well, is she here now?
Ming Wu, no here. Was here. Disappear.
Disappeared where?
Missy gone. No return. Please. That is all.
Yeah, not so fast. Do you know where she went? Here. More American dollars.
Oh, so thankful. All right. Let me tell you. One night men come here. Call her comrade. They talk. Very bad. Say she no can return America. Say she must stay here. Help them. She refuse. Take her away.
Where did they take her? Quick!
Oh, no, please. No, hurt her. Me show you. You come along me.
What is this place? Where have you brought me?
You see, me show you.
There's no building here, only a deserted plot of ground. See here, if this is a trick,
No trick. You lead Chinese, maybe some.
Yeah, but what does that got to do with it?
Here. You lead. See?
Good Lord. A grave marker. Here rests Ming Wu in the country she loved so well. Born United States of America.
I don't know what to say, Spike.
Nothing to say, kid. Sally learned the hard way that by becoming a communist, she gave up the rights she valued so highly. Freedom to live her own life.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yes, this is it, Jack. So long, Spike.
Be seeing you, Spike.
Yeah, maybe at the next roadblock.
Hey, snipers! Watch it!
Hell's luck, fellas!
Come on, you guys, let's go!
Aye, friends. There are many roadblocks in our daily lives and in our thinking. There are some who would tell us that the American way of life is imperfect. There are those who would advocate overthrowing our representative form of government. But the right to live our own lives as we choose, to think as we please, to speak our own opinions, to engage in free enterprise, these represent the heritage of freedoms which this form of government has given us. We must keep them, fight for them, treasure them. Let us push aside the roadblocks of communist philosophy, which would deprive us of the free life we now enjoy. The roadblocks on our way to destination freedom.
Portrayed by Maurice Copeland, will return next Sunday to narrate another chapter in the story we call Destination Freedom. Presented by Station WMAQ in the interest of human freedom the world over. Today's script was written by Madeline Peters and produced under the direction of John Cowan. Russ Reed played Spike Gibson and Geraldine Kay played Sally Sylvester. Other members of the cast were Herm Dinkin, Charles Flynn, and Jess Pugh. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and was played by Helen Morton and Jose Bethencourt. Our engineer was George Wilson, sound effects by Cliff Mueller. This is Hugh Downs reminding you that the sound of the freedom bell is your invitation to follow Paul Revere along the road to Destination Freedom. This This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.